Talkers, Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program.
Oh, it doesn't matter about what's going on in Florida. The hell with it, you know.
Oh, Mitt Romney wins. Woo!
I'm not going to focus on that at all. Cable television will provide all the garbage you want from the Republican primary, so feast at your leisure. And sponsorship for this first hour has been placed by Joe Bacon. Thank you, Joe. He's got a birthday. His message mentions it. Hey, Mike, it's my birthday today. My birthday wish is to thank you and Kathy for all you do. Mike, I'd rather listen to you than waste any time with our corporate-controlled conservative press, CCCP for short. Wait a second. Mike, where have I encountered CCCP before? That's right, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the sponsorship, man. Cookies on their way. No, in February. Right, cookies on the way in February. 2 weeks? Thanks, Joe. A little distraction from this political hog snot that's going on, this venereal disease that passes for the Republican primaries, and all the garbage that goes with it. Oh, God. Anyway, a nuclear reactor at the Northern Illinois plant shut down yesterday after losing power, and radioactive steam containing tritium, was being vented to reduce pressure. That's according to officials from Exelon Nuclear. That's the company that owns it, and federal regulators. This place is at about 95 miles northwest of Chicago. It's the Byron Generating Station. It shut down at 10:18 a.m. after losing power. Diesel generators began supplying power to the plant, and operators began releasing steam to cool the reactor from the part of the plant where turbines are producing electricity, not from within the nuclear reactor itself, officials said. Oh, well, that's a relief. So if you live in Milwaukee, Chicago area, don't worry about it. Radioactive steam is no big deal. Tritium, no big deal. Nothing to panic about. Nothing to get all upset about. I'll tell you what there is to get upset about, though, is the fact that we have a decaying nuclear industry in this country, no pun intended, that is rapidly posing more and more and more of a threat to people, groundwater, the air, animals, food products, corn, wheat, soybeans, watermelons, peaches, apples, pears, plums, green, you know. So for those of you living around the Byron Generating Station owned by Exelon Nuclear, be careful. They're venting radioactive steam into the air. No big deal. Don't worry about it. You realize, of course, that we are being prepped for war. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. There was an article I found someplace where the writer of the article said, we're being prepared for war with Iran. You understand that, right? If you don't, what has been going on the past couple of days should thoroughly convince you. First, a report from the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. According to that paper, the head spook for Mossad, Tamir Pardo, held secret talks with top U.S. officials in recent days, and that came out in incidental comments made during a public Senate hearing today. Our Senate. Well, they don't have one, but it came out in conversation. The meeting was supposed to be a secret, But it came up in conversation during a hearing of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence today, which was participated by CIA Director David Petraeus, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, and Dianne Feinstein, who chairs the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, in the course of the Q&A, well, Feinstein asked Clapper whether or not Israel intended to strike Iran's nuclear facilities. And Clapper said that, I would rather discuss the issue behind closed doors. Oh, really? Why? Feinstein then indicated that she had met with the chief of Mossad, Tamir Pardo, earlier this week in D.C. I guess that would have been yesterday, with David Petraeus, adding that he too, me too, met with the Mossad chief. And Petraeus mentioned what he called Israel's growing concern over Iran's nuclear ambitions. So because of Israel's concern, now Israel's a nuclear power. Israel has anywhere from 200 to 400 nuclear warheads. So why, you know, this may be a very ridiculous question, but I'll ask it anyway. Why are we being dragged into a nuclear war, if it comes to that, between Israel and Iran? Now, at the present time, I guess it would only be a conventional war between Israel and Iran, but we are being prepped for it. We are going to go to war with Iran. You do understand that. We, in a sense, we're already at war. We have had special ops people on the ground in Iran, is my understanding, for a couple of years now. We are involved in a supportive role, if not a direct role, in assassinating five of their top nuclear scientists and engineers. We are engineering embargoes against them. We are freezing their foreign bank accounts. In other words, the United States is committing acts of war against Iran. But it's the Iranians' fault, because the little bastards won't stop building nuclear stuff. Wow, is that convoluted thinking? But that's how it goes. That's how it goes. So, we are committing a series of acts that can only be considered aggressive and acts of war against a foreign government. God only knows what the Israelis are doing. Now, like I said, the assassination of their engineers and scientists, we are either directly involved or in a supportive role. You know damn good and well that Mossad is involved, that Israel's involved, that, probably our super secret special hit squads are involved. But all of this is in preparation for, and it's being done in a very different way from the way it was done with Cheney and Bush with Iraq. You know, I mean, everybody knew that was an out-and-out fraud. And the power structure, the corporate structure in this country learned from that abomination, from Cheney and Bush, so it's much more sophisticated. This time, they have an issue. They're not saying Iran has nuclear weapons. They're not saying Iran has chemical or biological weapons. What they're saying is Israel does not want, nor does the United States want, Iran to develop a nuclear capability. And since it appears that Iran is just saying, you know, bite my ass, we'll do what we want to do. You know, we have to deal in an area where there is a nuclear power. Iran to the right of us, Pakistan to the left. Are you kidding me? Of course we're going to develop nuclear capability. Well, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore, does it? We'll be right back with more on this.
It's Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. Hey, listen, I want to tell you this again. I've been mentioning it a couple times this week. I've got some friends who started something called Goldorama.com. They're progressives. I can vouch for them. They want to buy your stuff and send you a check. You know, the stuff you have around the house. Kathy and I have done this. It helped, didn't I mention it helped finance our trip to Puerto Rico? I mean, just junk, you know, crap. Some old cufflinks, some broken chains. Anyway, Goldorama.com is run by progressives. They recycle your old gold and silver jewelry and send you the check. So, check them out. I mean, you know, this is not buying gold. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not Glenn Beck. This is a company that will convert your useless chunks of gold jewelry and you know, your ex-wife's or ex-husband's wedding ring or whatever you've got. I don't know. What have you got? Visit Goldorama.com and get the information. Or you can call them, 888-669-5739. Okay? Will you do that for me? I don't care if you don't send anything, but check them out. You just may decide you got some stuff you want to get rid of. All right, I want to finish this up because there's something else I want to get to that just broke late this afternoon. Anyway, so according to Haaretz and the Washington Post and just about anybody else, if you read these articles, the way they're being presented, the United States and Israel, with Israel pushing the buttons, are preparing a war with Iran, which means that once again, you and I are going to be dragged into a situation like this. Part of the reason, the theory is out there, there's a couple of theories that I think are probably credible. I don't know how true they are, but they're certainly credible, that the only piece that's missing to launch an attack is the chaos in Syria. As soon as that is contained or controlled or subdued or ended or whatever, as soon as Assad is gone, then the attack on Iran will commence. The hearing that today, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe it was deliberately revealed, but an awful lot was revealed that I don't think necessarily helps the cause of war that Iran and, I'm sorry, that the United States and Israel are trying to provoke. The entire exchange was broadcast live on American TV. Anyone who wanted to watch it could watch it. Clapper told the Senate panel that, quote, Iran's technical advancement, particularly in uranium enrichment, strengthens our assessment that Iran has the scientific, technical, and industrial capacity to eventually produce nuclear weapons, making the central issue its political will to do so. In other words, they know how to do it. They've got the technical expertise. Now, do they have the political will to develop nuclear weapons as a deterrent to Iran, I'm sorry, this stuff just makes me sick to my stomach. So, yeah, I'm going to mess up the names here. A deterrent to Israel, a deterrent to the United States, or just plain old crappy-ass aggression on the part of the Iranians. You know, I don't know. I don't care. I wish all of them would just goddamn point revolvers at each other and everybody pulled the trigger at the same time and leave the planet alone. Why don't all you warmongering bastards just go someplace and die and leave the rest of us alone? Ooh, boy, did that sound like a 10-year-old. Clapper also said, these advancements contribute to our judgment that Iran is technically capable of producing enough highly enriched uranium for a weapon if it so chooses. Clapper added, saying that the U.S. judged Iran would likely choose missile delivery as its preferred method of delivering nuclear weapons. Clapper also talked about that Iranian plot last year to assassinate the Saudi envoy to the U.S. You know, they were going to use drug dealers from Mexico and blow up the Saudi ambassador's residence or... That's a casus belli, as we learned in Latin class, according to Mr. Clapper. What they're saying is the United States is extremely vulnerable, whereas Israel isn't, for acts of terror on our soil, because Israel is more easily defended, and they have a more intelligent intelligence service, or more adept or adroit, or, you know, whatever. So we are being warned. You and I, Americans, are being warned that the Iranians are coming, the Iranians are coming, the Iranians are coming, just like the Sandinistas are coming, the Sandinistas are coming, then the Viet Cong are coming, the Viet Cong are coming, Saddam Hussein is coming, Saddam Hussein is coming, we gotta do something, we gotta do something, let's kill them! Right? Right. So. We'll talk a little bit more about this later. Just understand something. You are being prepared to accept yet another war in the Middle East. We'll be right back.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And again, this hour is being sponsored by Joseph Bacon. Thanks, Joe. His message, hey, Mike, it's my birthday today. My birthday wish is to thank you and Kathy for all you do. Mike, I'd rather listen to you than waste any time with our corporate-controlled conservative press, or CCCP for short. Wait a second. Mike, where have I encountered CCCP before? Aha! Indeed. Thanks, Joe. This is just astonishing. I don't think there's anyone in America that isn't familiar with Planned Parenthood. Among other things, Planned Parenthood provides breast cancer screening services to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of low-income women. And nowadays, that's anybody who otherwise would not get cancer screening, especially breast cancer screening. It has to be paid for somehow. Planned Parenthood is under attack by the religious right, these religious sons of bitches who stand up on their hind legs and whine and cry and bleat about how Christianity is under attack. It's the oldest tactic in the world. The most bloody organization on earth is the Christian religion. And it is attacking anything and everything that gets in its way. And that includes Planned Parenthood. So now, the world's largest breast cancer organization, you're familiar with them, you know who they are, the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, the ones that have the races and the ribbons and the pink teddy bears, the ones who have infantilized a horrific disease, breast cancer. The Susan G. Komen Foundation is cutting off its financing of breast cancer screening and education programs run by Planned Parenthood. They're ending it. According to the New York Times, the move will halt financing of 19 of Planned Parenthood's 83 affiliates, which received nearly $700,000 from the Komen Foundation last year and have been receiving grants like that since at least 2005. Where does the Susan G. Komen Foundation get its money? One of the ways they get their money are from people who participate in their three-day walks, people who pay money to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Planned Parenthood contends that the Komen Foundation is yielding to longstanding pressure from anti-abortion groups. And, of course, the Komen Foundation denies this. Of course we're not doing it for that reason. You know why they're doing it? A spokeswoman for the Komen Foundation, a person named Leslie Ahn, told the Associated Press earlier today that the main factor in the decision to stop giving grants to Planned Parenthood was a new rule adopted by the Komen Foundation that, now get this, prohibits grants to organizations being investigated by local, state, or federal authorities. They can no longer make grants to organizations being investigated by local, state, or federal authorities. Ms. Ahn, the spokesman for the Komen Foundation, told the Associated Press that Planned Parenthood was therefore disqualified because of an inquiry being conducted by Representative Cliff Stearns, a Republican of Florida, who is trying, as everyone on the right wing in this filthy goddamn political system is trying, to defund Planned Parenthood because Planned Parenthood still believes a woman's right to privacy supersedes the government's right to stick their goddamn face in private business. Personal business. Reproductive health. Abortion. Whatever you want to call it. Susan G. Komen Foundation has yielded to Nazi pressure. And I shame on you, Komen Foundation. Susan G. Komen was Jewish. How would she feel were she alive today, knowing that Christian fascists in this country have dictated to an organization put together in her name, to the extent that that organization is not going to continue funding Planned Parenthood? You filthy right-wing bastards. I'll tell you, eventually the barricades will go up. And after the AP article was posted this afternoon, the Komen Foundation declined to make Ms. Ahn, Leslie Ahn, their spokeswoman, or any other staff member available to discuss this decision. The Komen Foundation did issue a statement, however. They sound like a bunch of filthy Republican politicians. They said it was seeking to, quote, strengthen our grants program. Therefore, we've implemented more stringent eligibility and performance criteria. You filthy, filthy, filthy organizations. You right-wingers. The statement from Komen continued, while it is regrettable when changes in priorities and policies affect any of our grantees, such as a longstanding partner like Planned Parenthood, we must continue to evolve to best meet the needs of the women we serve and most fully advance our mission, end quote. Planned Parenthood does more to save women from the ravages of cancer than the Susan Komen Foundation has ever done. The Susan G. Komen Foundation has taken a hideous disease, infantilized the women who are suffering from it, handed them pink ribbons and little teddy bears, and sent them on three-day marches. Planned Parenthood screens people for breast cancer, and if the screening turns up cancer, helps them get assistance to cure it or to stall off the death sentence. Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, said that the decision, quote, came so abruptly in the face of a long, good working relationship with the Komen Foundation. And she said that the change in financing criteria, quote, was written specifically to address the political pressure that they've been under, that Komen has been under. Cliff Stearns, Republican of Florida, is looking at how Planned Parenthood spends and reports its money. Remember what happened to Acorn? And now this, Planned Parenthood, under absolute attack, because occasionally, not occasionally, frequently, they provide abortion services. This is how these filthy right-wingers interject themselves in some of the most personal decisions and most private decisions that a woman can make. But they don't care. They're following their Lord Jesus Christ. You know, go ye therefore into all the world preaching the gospel. The gospel was, you hypocritical bastards, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Turn the other cheek, love your enemy. I swear, I have these moments when I think to myself, you know, it's a shame that your grandma is, your long dead grandma isn't right, Mike, that there is God and there is Jesus, and eventually, being the Messiah, who was rejected by the Jews, he's gonna come back, and he's going to bring with him a fiery sword. And who's he gonna go after? The Jews? Nah. The Christians. And he's going to lop their heads off. Sometimes I really wish that were true. I do, you know. I just think of all the damage that Christians have done because this man, if he existed at all, this Jewish guy who wandered around the Middle East, this teacher trying to tell people 2,000 years ago, stop it! You know. And look what they've done. But anyway, I digress. Cecile Richards, the president of Planned Parenthood, said all of Planned Parenthood's affiliates provided around 770,000 women with breast exams, paid for mammograms and ultrasounds for those who needed and could not afford further diagnostic services. She said she received the news from the Komen Foundation in late December, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and had requested a meeting with officials there to discuss the matter, but was told no. Ms. Richards added, until recently, the Komen Foundation has been praising our breast health programs as essential. This really abrupt about-face was very surprising. I think the Komen Foundation has been bullied by right-wing groups. No kidding, Miss Richards.
Revolution starts right now. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Joseph Bacon. Thanks, Joe. His message, hey, Mike, it's my birthday today. My birthday wish is to thank you and Kathy for all you do. Mike, I'd rather listen to you than waste any time with our corporate-controlled conservative press, CCCP, for short. Wait a second. Mike, where have I encountered CCCP before? Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the sponsorship. Anti-abortion freaks and websites have criticized the Susan Komen Foundation's financing of Planned Parenthood for years. In December, a right-wing Christian fascist organization called Lifeway Christian Resources, which is owned by the Southern Baptist Convention, said it was recalling a pink Bible it was selling at Walmart and other stores because a dollar per copy was going to the Komen Foundation, and the foundation supported Planned Parenthood. No more pink Bibles for you, bitch! Wow. This is what it's come down to. Christians would rather have women die of cancer. Christians will force, and the Komen Foundation, you cowards, you bunch of cowards, abandoning women that you are taking money from. You cowards! And you Christian right-wing organizations, you goddamn killers, you murderers! Man! Leslie Durgan, Senior Vice President of Public Policy for Planned Parenthood's Rocky Mountain affiliate, said the Komen decision would cost three of the organization's health centers in Denver and one in Glenwood Springs about $165,000. Ms. Durgan said the money paid for hundreds of breast exams each year, as well as mammograms and other services, and now they will stop. You filthy Southern bastard, Baptist bastard, you. I wish your Christ would come down and just rip all of you into a million pieces and throw you in hell where you belong. Man. Leslie Durgan, the senior vice president, herself had breast cancer. And she said many low-income women come to Planned Parenthood for their primary health care needs and in the process receive breast cancer education and screening that they would not otherwise have gotten. Ms. Durgan said, quote, any kind of impediment for women, including a referral to go someplace else, will mean that women delay getting further screenings and women who may have cancer will discover it later than they might otherwise. A lot of our clients are just one hassle away from not getting services at all. Shame on you, you Southern Baptists. Shame on you, you Christ-killing freaks. You destroy the message of your own Messiah. Shame on you. Shame on you. And to this freak, Cliff Stearns, this Republican of Florida, who's looking at how Planned Parenthood spends and reports money, and that is the flimsy excuse that the Komen Foundation is using to cut off funding. $700,000 of funding. May all of you just rot in hell. Just rot in hell. To use this kind of political pressure against an organization, Planned Parenthood, that struggles to provide breast cancer screening programs for women who otherwise can't afford them. There's a big ad campaign here in Atlanta. Another big Susan G. Komen, let's infantilize women who have breast cancer. Let's give them all little pink ribbons and pink teddy bears and pink this and pink that. And make them all feel guilty because they are not out playing tennis and golf while they're dealing with breast cancer and chemotherapy. And radiation therapy. Let's all go for a walk. In the meantime, we're not going to fund Planned Parenthood that actually does something about breast cancer. This is vile. This is just absolutely filthy and horrible. A combination of right-wing male politicians and these twisted, perverted Christian organizations, and a spineless organization like Susan Komen that will sue you if you decide to have your own walk or your own little pink ribbon or your own pink teddy bear that isn't affiliated with they. They own the trademark on breast cancer. Do you know how much their executives make? No, neither do I. What do you want to bet? It's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year. You want to investigate somebody, Cliff Stearns? Investigate the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Can you play some music? I am so furious. Thank God we have a break here. Let me get out of this hour quickly before I really say something that wouldn't be very nice. It is 7 past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by James Higgins. Thanks, James. Thank you very much. You know, Michael in Roswell had to jog my memory. The Susan G. Komen's senior vice president for public policy, I mean, it just blew right past me. I know this woman. It's Karen Handel. She was the chairman of the Fulton County Commission for a while, and then she was Secretary of State here in Georgia. And then she ran for governor, and she was defeated. And that's when she was hired as the Susan G. Komen Foundation Senior VP for Public Policy in April of last year. And as Michael reminds me, when running for governor, Karen Handel was explicitly against existing law on reproductive services, and she was explicit in saying she would defund Planned Parenthood. So the Komen Foundation has been subverted from the inside. And Crooks and Liars has this up now, too. This is a quote from Karen Handel back in 2010. She said, this is when she was running for governor. She said, first, let me be clear, since I am pro-life, I do not support the mission of Planned Parenthood. During my time as chairman of Fulton County, there were federal and state pass-through grants that were awarded to Planned Parenthood for breast and cervical cancer screening, as well as something called a Healthy Babies Initiative. The grant was authorized, regulated, administered, and distributed through the state of Georgia. Because of the criteria, regulations, and parameters of the grant, Planned Parenthood was the only eligible vendor approved to meet the state criteria. Additionally, none of the services in any way involved abortions or abortion-related services. In fact, state and federal law prohibits the use of taxpayer funds for abortions or abortion-related services, and I strongly support those laws. So, what is this psycho broad saying? That breast cancer screening is just like abortions? And she is nuts. She's another one of these Christian right-wingers who would cut anybody's throat, deny anybody any kind of social safety net. Well, it'll be all over the New York Times tomorrow, so you can prepare yourself for the screaming. But, you know, you can get in touch with the Susan G. Komen Foundation. And if you're so inclined, you ought to tell them, you know, no more walks for you. take your pink teddy bears and put them where the sun don't shine. And no more donations either. You're going to cut off the funding that goes to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood screens for people who can't afford and don't have health insurance, can't afford breast screening, breast cancer screening. Then to hell with you. To hell with you. I cannot believe an organization like the Susan G. Komen Foundation would submit to fascist, right-wing, Christian demands like this. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. I got to leave this one alone because this really, really, really drives me crazy. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why this assault on a woman's privacy that is just ongoing. I don't know why. Maybe it's because the whole thing is structured to be an anti-abortion movement when it has nothing to do with that. It's an anti-woman's privacy or privacy period. And the very right-wing Christian freaks who are constantly screaming about government intrusion want government intrusion in a gynecological exam. You filthy hypocrites. I am so sick of this. I really am. But I don't know why this triggers me worse than most things that come up. Maybe because I am, like a lot of people in this country, I'm becoming anesthetized to the day-to-day lies and deceits and garbage and ripoffs and fraud that goes on in this country politically. It goes on where it concerns these filthy religions and where it concerns these filthy manipulative capitalists. Maybe, you know, you just get to a point where you become so zapped up on Xylocaine or something, or Novocaine or Procaine, I don't know. You just don't feel anymore. And then along comes an issue that I didn't think would trigger me like this, and boom. It's the hypocrisy. It's the fascism. Ooh, Romney wins Florida. Ooh. All right. Let me pray to the rescue here. 272 billion reasons to feel depressed. That's what he's got it titled. All right. I haven't read this, so we'll just take it cold. In case you've missed the good news on the corporate media, the total GDP of the U.S. is now greater than it was before the Bush crash. Not surprisingly, President Obama gets no credit for this. Just saving the auto industry is a big deal. Let's cut through the Republican crap on this. The loans to GM and Chrysler weren't designed to save those companies per se. Detroit automakers could have, in theory, recovered using traditional bankruptcy protections. In other words, by stiffing their creditors. The problem with this so-called solution is that it would have, in fact, killed not only GM, Chrysler, and Ford, but Toyota has said flatly that they would cease North American operations under the Republican solution pushed by Mitt Romney and senators from the southern states. The reason for this bleak outcome was that the huge debt load that the car makers were carrying was mostly owed to their parts supplier. And as creditors, they would have been wiped out in bankruptcy. Why Toyota? They were using even more American-made parts than the so-called U.S. companies. Entire industries have disappeared from the U.S. economy over the past 30 years. Obama can rightly claim this isn't happening on his watch, at least not so far. There is a fly in the recovery ointment, however. We are producing this larger GDP with 6 million fewer workers. Many of these jobs were lost from the housing collapse that began in 2006, but many more were given pink slips the day after the 2008 election. These were planned layoffs, and they were replaced by workers in Asia that had been put in place well in advance. Still more jobs simply dried up with the recession. Another supposed bright spot is that we are exporting 40% more to China than before the crash. But the bright light is really an onrushing bullet train made in China. Our trade deficit with China is just as high now as before the crash. We import four times as much as we export to China for a net loss of $272 billion last year. And that's just China. There's the oil deficit, too. You shouldn't make too much of the huge sums of money we owe or the massive deficits. It's all just paper. The point is that this money really doesn't exist. The goods and services it represents have already been produced, consumed, and forgotten. It amounts to nothing more than an excuse for some rich guys who did nothing to earn the money and paid no taxes on the profits to keep screwing with us and taking away our real wealth. If we would put people in charge who actually worked for us instead of the 0.1%, the books could be made to balance. It's true that rebuilding America will be a big job. Much of the industrial heartland of this country looks like we were the losers of World War II instead of the winners. The actual losers have rebuilt and are thriving, so it can be done. Of course, their heavy machinery was salvageable in the ruins, where ours has been crated up and sold to China. Their workers still know how to use the machines, as we've gone a full generation without training replacements for the retiring workers. We still need to be liberated and the people responsible taken to trial. The problem is that most Americans don't grasp their situation. The propaganda still flows. The criminals still wield great power. And millions believe the bad guys are really the good guys. The good news is that we have a growing occupation that is making it clear to more Americans every day who the bad guys really are. Can we move beyond that to a post-war rebuilding period? It's too early to tell. PrairieNumeral2.com or TVNewsLies.org. In the editorial section, you'll find what he wrote. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Michael and Roswell says those who want to make a statement to the Komen Foundation can give a donation to Planned Parenthood and suggest that they send the thank you card to Karen Handel at the Komen Foundation. There's a more direct way, too, and Reg just emailed me about it. You can go to their website, and we will have a link at our site by tomorrow morning. I think Reg has one up already. It is www.komen.org. And there's a message board there. And you can post a message. I did. Told them to hang their heads in shame and that I would never again support them for what they've done where it concerns Planned Parenthood. So if you want to make your voice heard, www.komen, K-O-M-E-N.org. And their phone number? It's very simple. 877-GO-KOMEN. Phone call to them in the morning is something that's going to come from the Malloy household, I will guarantee you. 1-877-GO-KOMEN, K-O-M-E-N. And as Reg says, get this on Twitter and Facebook. It's the best weapon available. Kathy, you'll get that out, won't you, on Facebook? Okay. So this should be spread like wildfire, like a flu virus, by using Facebook and Twitter. I mean, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't seem to leave this topic. It just is maddening. It's just absolutely maddening. I mean, the Komen Foundation has made a career. They're making people wealthy on breast cancer. And then you have an organization that struggles for every breath that it takes, trying to actually help women, not send them on lovely 3-day hikes, but actually screen and find cancers, actually do something about having people get help. No, Planned Parenthood doesn't have the cute little pink teddy bears. When you're dying of breast cancer, what the hell do you want? Do you want a pink teddy bear, or do you want an organization that is trying its damnedest to prevent cancer and find a cure for it? Susan G. Komen is trying to find a cure for the people who work in their organization who want to be millionaires. That's what they're looking for. And this Karen Handel, this freak from Georgia, I cannot believe that this horrible anti-woman woman surfaces after having her ass kicked out of the state of Georgia, politically speaking. She shows up at the Komen Foundation. Well, whatever. You're awfully quiet about this, Kathy. You just had a mammogram.
Yes, I'm just... Struggling.
I can't hear you. Use a different channel. Because I don't hear what you got to say. So does your big audience.
I'm just struggling to stay awake.
I don't think that's the right channel either. Can you try it again?
That's not going to work for you?
That works.
Okay.
That
How about
works.
That? Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. Save the boobies.
Yeah, save the boobies. Save the tatas. Oh, yeah. My God. Talk about infantilizing a hideous disease. What the hell is up with that?
I've never understood that, but I never understood the little metallic yellow ribbons on the cars either, or the little patriotic doohickeys and flag pins. But no, you're right. And it's a serious disease. It's a serious situation, and it shouldn't be.
We have a couple of friends, you know,
we have five friends.
Who have breast cancer.
This scared the bejesus out of me. We were in Chicago, and we just moved back here, and five women that I knew in varying ages,
right,
ranging from about 40 to 60.
That we knew. Right.
Had breast cancer.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. And the way it happened was one of them went and got a mammogram and said, I have breast cancer. You should get checked. All these other women got checked, and by God, five of them had it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was treated very successfully, and sadly, one of them is not being having such a successful outcome right now. So
I just,
it's not funny.
No, it's not. And the whole... babyfication of a hideous disease to me has always been a stomach turner. I don't get that. I don't. Maybe a woman out there who's listening to the program can tell me, well, Malloy, you just don't get it. You know, that's what we want. We want teddy bears to hug. We'll be right back.
Got it.
go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by James Higgins. Thank you, James, very much. Jack in Shreveport sent this to me. Apparently, this is really going viral, this news about what the Komen Foundation has done. Jack writes... He obviously did some research. The CEO of the Susan G. Komen Foundation salary is just under $500,000 a year. And the amount they gave in grants to Planned Parenthood in 2011, $680,000. $500,000 to be the CEO of the Susan G. Komen Foundation. There's money in the cancer business, isn't there? The terrible part of all this, of course, is that the mortality rate for breast cancer is pretty much the same today as it was 50 years ago. I think the mortality rate for most cancers is about the same as it was 50 years ago. $500,000 a year. The average oncologist makes what? $300,000 a year? $250,000? Well, this is going to, trust me on this, this is going to cause an eruption across this country that you're going to hear like an explosion. And it should. It should. This is, I don't know, how many more of these little items can we deal with, huh? Okay. Calm down. Kathy, why don't you open the lines and see if anybody wants to talk to us tonight. 877-996-2556 is the number here if you want to... give us a call. Hadassah Lieberman is a highly paid spokesmodel for the Susan G. Komen Care. That's Joe Lieberman's wife. Remember? Oh, Hadassah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Should I run for vice president again or not? Ah, this Al Gore. Oy. I don't know. What should I do, Hadassah? Hey, remember that? Seems so long ago, doesn't it? When Lieberman was running with Gore, oh my God, it was a long time ago. Lieberman. Every time I think of him, I gotta laugh. Oh my God. 877-996-2556 is the number. Oh, your screening call. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, Kathy. I was going to do this before I got word of the Susan G. Komen outrage. This also is about Iran, and I mentioned it again because we are being prepared for some sort of. Military operation against Iran. Who was it that sent me? Richard in Virginia, or Reinhardt in Virginia. Last night we were talking about the deployment of this the ship, the Ponce. It's an old amphibious assault type ship, as Reinhardt writes. And he says it's consigned with the oldest carrier as a false flag bullseye. In other words, what Reinhardt is saying, that sending this decrepit old ship as a floating commando base, it's being put out there to be hit with a missile. That can then, it could be an Israeli missile or an Iranian missile. Doesn't make any difference. We would blame Iran, even if we knew. This is just like the attack on the USS Liberty. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter over there. Nothing is what it is, what it seems to be. And, Perry, too, had sent this in last night, too. Odd thing, this ship. The U.S. Navy has a bunch of ships of this design that are newer, bigger, much better equipped to do the things this one is supposed to do. Well, on and on. Why are they sending this one to the Persian Gulf? Can you say easy target for a provocation or false flag operation? Or is it just something, anything, to put into the news cycle to counter the revelation that the United States Air Force admitted that their 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb won't penetrate Iran's nuclear facilities? But they're working on a better one. Physics being what it is, they would need to build a much heavier bomb, and they don't have a plane that can carry a bigger one. But we can print bigger headlines from Prairie 2 and Reinhardt in Hampton, Virginia. You smell it coming, don't you? Huh? You can smell the, whatever the 2012 equivalent is to the line from Apocalypse Now. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, good evening, Mike. I wanted to mention, Susan G. Coleman got it. She was actually a Colorado Springs resident. That's where it all started for them.
Oh.
And something else you need to mention is the amount of money that the Coleman Foundation takes in from pharmaceuticals, in particular Abbott Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to look at because, well, like you, what you said last hour where you questioned why this topic was so maddening for you,
mm-hmm.
and you said it exactly. It's the hypocrisy. Your 19, 21, 25-year-old daughter in the prime of her life has breast cancer, and you would not allow her to get treatment through Planned Parenthood simply because they supposedly fund abortions or do fund abortions?
Mm-hmm.
How crazy is that? But, of course, it's not their 19-year-old that's going to be in that situation. It's going to be someone in the lower 99% of us that's going to have that situation. And you're right. That's exactly what we do. Call Coleman, write them, let them know. No more donations, no more supporting the walks, and you could probably also mention that Major League Baseball does an annual pink bat and that every year for them. And that's an abomination that's still going to happen.
Yeah, so does the National Football League. Don't they have the pink chin straps or is that just maybe that's not Coleman? There's a big pharmaceutical company that supports this the whole pink thing. I don't think it's necessarily the Coleman Foundation, but there's another one, and it just I don't know, this whole story is just making me crazy. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Keep talking, keep it lit.
All right, thanks for checking in, Kevin. I appreciate it very much. Take care.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. There was an article that Jack also mentioned from Shreveport in Slate, and it was published some time ago. There was a book that came out about this whole, it's called Pink Ribbon Blues. It was written by a woman named Gail Sulik. Pink Ribbon Blues. And she argues in that book that despite the $1 billion raised over the years by pink-clad volunteers on hikes and despite the great billions the U.S. plows into related research each year, science has failed to make any real progress in the fight against breast cancer. It goes on to say, all the hoopla and boosterism of Breast Cancer Awareness Month leaves the impression that important work is being done. But in fact, in the time since the war on cancer was declared 40 years ago, things have gotten worse. The stats are dismal. Sulik's evidence is strong and disturbing, according to the reviewer here at Slate. A woman now has a 1 in 8 chance of getting breast cancer in her lifetime. And in 1975, the figure was 1 in 11. The risk of dying from the disease upon diagnosis decreased just 0.05%. 0.05% from 1990 to 2005. He goes on to say, a woman with invasive breast cancer today will be bombarded with many more treatments and spend a lot more than her grandmother might have on care. But she'll have about the same chance of dying from the illness as women did 50 years ago. Oh, yeah. The pharmaceutical giant Zeneca, and now it's called AstraZeneca, they were the ones who came up with the funding for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. And this hour has been sponsored by James Higgins. Thank you very much, James. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Does James get, James gets cookies? Yeah. Okay. I hope he sent his address. Nell in Raleigh, North Carolina, has an idea. She writes, thanks for spreading the word about this dreadful decision by the Komen Foundation. I'd like to suggest that your listeners join me in contacting the long list of corporate sponsors listed on the Komen site and urge them to stop supporting Komen and help Planned Parenthood instead. Perhaps a massive campaign by customers will help corporate leaders rethink their support of Komen. And it's the website I gave you, www.komen.org. Komen is K-O-M-E-N, and the corporate partners are listed there. Oh, just infuriated by this. Gary's in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, Gary.
Hi, Mike. Well, I'm in the right mood. I listen to you. You're right on.
Well, but thanks.
This Parenthood thing, I donate a little money every year to Planned Parenthood, and we pay a heavy price for being Americans. We have the most brutal health care system in the world, I believe, developed world.
Mm-hmm.
This is just another thing. The mad as I get at the Democrats, especially the Blue Dogs, I have to support them because of stuff like this.
Yeah, so, I know. I share the feeling, trust me.
Oh, yeah, and that health care insurance thing with Baucus, I was watching that. I'm retired now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was watching that on TV, I had my own personal thing with health care. It happened to me when I was young. When I watched Baucus throwing them doctors and nurses out of the Senate chamber, I was just cursing the TV at my own. The old Democrats were supposed to be looking out for us. Them Blue Dogs, I'll tell you, I get so mad at them.
I do, too. At least with Republicans, you know that they are the enemy of the human race. There's no question about it. It's just like black folk in the South during the bad old days and left over to some to this day, too. But in the South, during the bad old days, black folk knew the attitude of whites. It was right up front, whereas black folk in the North during the same time, the northern part of the country, had to deal with the more subtler form of racism, the more quiet form, the more insidious form. So it's the same thing as that, I think. You know, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think I knew this country was in big trouble. You know when I knew we were in big trouble? on that. Rotten Ronnie, when he was so popular, I was working with these guys on a union. It was a union job. And these, they're white men, you know, we're old now, the baby boomers, which I consider the worst generation. And they said, Reagan, you couldn't even run Reagan down without catching hell from these guys. And he's going to take care of these welfare cheats.
Mm-hmm.
It was just terrible.
Oh, I know. I know. The Cadillac Queens or whatever they were called.
A welfare queen.
Welfare queens.
And Reagan, you know, the media didn't even cover all the corruption. You know, Ed Meese, Sam Pierce, and the HUD scandal.
Oh, yeah. Me. Oh, my God.
Finally, Iran-Contra came out, but I guess that was okay with...
Oh, don't you know that President Reagan was the greatest white man that ever lived in America, right?
Correct something a little bit. I called you about father was with the... he wasn't with them. He was before 42nd World War II. Germans, they weren't near as... They weren't very hard on them, but when they were way out of line, then they would do something with them. But before we got in the war, they'd go down... Minnesota, my folks, and they would actually play in Hitler's speeches down there in Minnesota Street, Noam, because a lot of those people in Noam were from Germany, Ulm, Germany, I guess.
Well, there was, you know, there was the German-American Bund or friendship in this country. I can remember, I was too young for it, but I have seen films of huge rallies in Chicago. I think there was a place there at one time called the Cow Palace. I think that's right. Or maybe I'm getting confused with something else. But there was a huge a hall there, like you know, huge indoor stadium type thing. And Americans who believed in an alliance with Nazi Germany would give speeches. And there would be people there in an American version of a Nazi uniform, and I believe at different times prior to our getting into the war, that there were speakers that came from Hitler's Germany to address their American friends. So it was, you know, yeah, it was a big deal. There was an awful, obvious, I say awful without reservation, awful and an obvious connection between Nazism and American corporatism, American right-wing political capitalism, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate what you had to say, pal. Take care, okay? We're about out of time for this hour. I hadn't planned on talking about that. I hadn't planned on getting this angry. But our good friend Reg over at TVNewsLies.org sent this to me. I guess it's in tomorrow's New York Times. It's probably on their website now, nytimes.com. I know Reg has something up or will soon about this. We will have a link up soon where you can notify if you want to. I mean, you know, maybe this is okay with you, but I don't think so, not this audience. But to notify the Susan G. Komen Foundation, that any further support for them, you know, when you have a CEO of an organization like that that draws $500,000 a year salary, what? On sickness, illness, cancer, disease? Stinking, stinking creatures. I swear to God, people who do that, I just... Okay, take it easy. When we come back, I've got another rant to get into, so... I have left tonight's results alone, pretty much, or today's results of this Florida primary, but I got some things to say about Gingrich and this silly-ass Romney who won. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. It really doesn't make any difference who the projected winner is or whatever of the vote counting that's been going on now for, what, about 4 hours? Newt Gingrich, of course, is mad. He is madder than the Mad Hatter. Oh man. You know, Romney's a liar, but Newt Gingrich is just utterly and absolutely insane by any measurement. I'll get to that in a second. This caught my eye, during the break. This is from, Atlantic City, New Jersey, the gambling, mecca on the East Coast. That city has a new casino called Revel, and they're hiring. The casino is projected to bring in $2.5 billion. Where's that going to come from, huh? You know, notice how all the states are into gambling now as a way of revenue raising. This is crazy. Lotteries and casino gambling and Vegas style. I mean, it's just I can't even talk. I mean, anybody with the sense of a gently stewed turnip understands that you don't win when you go to a casino. They're not set. Oh God, why bother? Why bother? Never mind. Anyway, this casino called Revel is projected to bring in $2.5 billion. Provide 5,000 full-time jobs and has already hired thousands, it says here, of construction workers to build this pit of depression and anxiety and you know, suicide and addiction and everything that goes with casino-style gambling. You want to sit down and play poker among your friends? I don't care if you play for matchsticks or $1,000 a pot. That's a hell of a lot different, isn't it? Than casino. Oh, don't. Just let it go. Anyway, employees who go to work for these gambling establishments earn, it says here, between $16,000 and $68,000 a year. That's according to labor statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But this new one, this Revel Casino, the way people will be hired there, including bellhops, blackjack dealers, the waitresses, everybody, they will be subjected to term limits of 4 to 6 years. When you go get a job, it'll be with the understanding that you may not keep it, depending on the company. Now, I don't know. This sounds like, well, duh. But no. It's not duh. At the end of their term, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is, they have to go through the rehiring process. This is according to NPR. And Rebel says this policy will, quote, attract the most highly professional people who are inspired by a highly competitive work environment, end quote. What? What it means is after 4 or 5 years, as you've advanced through the pay scale, you have to reapply, and if they decide, well, listen, we got to cut some of these $68,000 jobs, so they wipe out 100 positions, hire 100 new people at $16,000. God damn, just when you think capitalism can't trick workers anymore, they come up with this. The auto industry, the manufacturing industry, they now have two-tiered pay schedules. Old-time workers, you know, pre-Bush, are making $35 to $50 an hour making cars, which is less than what a manufacturing worker makes in Germany. But the new hires going into Ford, GM, Chrysler, whoever's left, I don't even know anymore, they'll start at $14 an hour. Now, that's bad enough, but now this. Oh, yeah, we'll hire you, and then we'll sit down after 4 years. And now, it sounds like, well, Malloy, that's just a review process. Oh, hog snot. You know exactly what this is. Well, Pete, listen, we really enjoyed having you here for 4 years, but we're going to have to let you go. Why? Oh, we just want to. Well, I'll go talk to my union. You don't have a union, remember? That's all. I just thought I would throw that in. Oh. One of the first things I saw this morning was editorial in the New York Times about McCain on Meet the Press on Sunday suggested that it's time to stop the debates. These Republican poop fests, you know, they stand up there on the stage, these people, they're supposed to be adults, and they each have a bucket of human excrement beside of them. And all during the debate, they just reach in with their gloved hand, and they pull up handfuls of human excrement, and they throw it at each other. Except for Newt. He throws it at the moderator. That's all they do. They're just hurling human excrement back and forth at each other. Well, they're kind of like monkeys or chimps, you know. It's just madness. Well, McCain gets on the electric TV on Sunday on Meet the Press, on Press the Meat on NBC, and he says, hey, listen, it's time to stop this because they've turned into, events that are driving up negative impressions of the Republican Party's presidential candidates. Oh, really, John? Really? Has that got you a little concerned? You, who had Sarah Palin as your running mate? Get out of town. Oh, my God. He's got a point, though. You know, there have been 19 debates so far, and they have left the truth, which, as the Times calls it, an increasingly sour taste in voters' mouths. I wouldn't go that far. You know, we're talking about excrement here. Let's leave the oral fixations aside. What they have done, what the Republicans have done, is they have ripped aside the facade that the Republican Party is a political party. And they have shown it for what it is. A collection of miscreants, sexual offenders, wife beaters, liars, bad check writers, peeping toms, adulterers. Did I leave anything out? Probably a bunch of jaywalkers. I bet every one of the bastards jaywalk. Oh, and then religious fanatics. As the Times says, it's not simply because the candidates have increased the intensity of their attacks on each other, nor is it curable by cutting back on the mud fighting. But the reason these Republican leaders want this stopped is because voters have been exposed, like this, to the broken windows of the Republican idea factory. Broken windows of the idea. Who wrote this editorial? Woo! The broken windows of the Republican Idea Factory. Man, that's pretty cool. New York Times editorial writer, whoever you are. They're unsigned editorials, who knows? But, you know, the broken windows of the Republican Idea Factory. The value of debates, of course, is to put the candidates on stage so they can let the potential voters, the people who are still playing the game, have a peek into what these candidates believe and how they're going to act under stress. But have you found anything substantive in these debates at all? Except, well, I'm going to appeal Obamacare. I'm going to repeal it. I'm going to build a colony on the moon. I'm going to throw all the immigrants out. I'm going to stop abortion. Have you heard anything that matters unless you're a psychotic Christian fundamentalist or a no-holds-barred supporter of Zionism? Have you heard anything?
Hi, True Seekers. It's time for your humbled and obedient servant, Mike Malone.
It's 21 past the hour. New York Times says, no, don't stop the madness. These Republican blank fests where they, you know, throw handfuls of poop at each other. It's just... It's pretty astonishing. It really is. And some of the some of the so-called leaders of the Republican Party, the ones whose brains are really encased in porcelain, are starting to call for an end to the debates. There have been 19 so far. What have you learned? You've learned that Newt Gingrich wants to convene a gold commission. You've learned that he wants to end multilingual ballots in the process, disenfranchising millions of voters in this country. You've learned he wants to promote an uprising in Cuba. You've learned that he wants to end the capital gains tax, which would allow millionaires to pay even less of their income to the government than the minimum they pay now. Romney wants to get millions of illegal immigrants to self-deport. By making their lives miserable. No library card, no driver's license, no utilities turned on, nothing! Oh, Emma Lazarus, you might as well take the inscription on the statue out there and just, I don't know, get a goddamn sander, a blowtorch, and remove it! It doesn't apply anymore. Romney would veto the DREAM Act, which provides a path to citizenship for immigrant college students and people who come to this country undocumented and join the military. Oh, no. You can join the Roman legions and get your citizenship. You will become a Roman, but not according to Newt Gingrich. You will remain a Greek. Wow. Romney would refuse to extend any government assistance to struggling homeowners. Remember what he said? Let the market bottom out. Let it all collapse. Let literally millions of families wind up on the goddamn street. Does this appeal to you, Mr. or Ms. Republican voter? Does it really? Are you this freaking sick? Are you? And people by the thousands are going out to the polls and voting for one or the other of these two monsters. Are you kidding me? Ah! Oh, and Romney also wants to repeal the Dodd-Frank law that finally regulated the banking practices that led to the crisis. You're going to vote for these people, aren't you, you dumb, dumb freak, aren't you? You Republican brain-dead creature, you're going to vote for this? Why? There's still redemption. There are all kinds of progressives who will reach out and take your hand and pull you out of this toilet they put you in. Aren't you tired of being in there? Don't you want out? Stop the debates. The debates revealed Herman Cain to be the slug that he is. That revealed Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann to be total psychopaths. Rick Perry, who couldn't find his ass with both hands and an assistant. Michelle Bachmann? Are you kidding me? You want to put an end? These weren't debates. These were x-rays. These are people standing up there. I'm going to be president. Oh, really? You think you are? In the meantime, all Obama has to do is just sit back and watch these monkeys hurl handfuls of human excrement at each other. They're smeared with it. They stink of it. They have befouled the political landscape. And who would have thought that the American political landscape could be befouled worse than it already is? The Republicans have done it. Look at them. Smell them. See them. And then all day today, millions of people in Florida have gone to the polls to vote for one or the other of these cretins. You Florida Republicans, are you kidding me? What would Newt Gingrich do for you? You're out of work. You're losing your house. You have no health insurance. Your kids can't even graduate from a decent school thanks to George Bush. And you're going to vote Republican again? To what end? Oh, that's right. You believe that eventually your ship's going to come in, you're going to win the lottery, and you're going to be a millionaire, and you don't want to pay that capital gains tax or whatever it is. Are you sick? Yeah, never mind. Of course you are. You're goddamn bat crazy. You really are. You're voting? You're going out saying, well, let me see here. I think I'll pick this one. Well, and then there's Ron Paul with his, hi, I'm the crazy uncle in the attic. I believe in libertarianism. Here, you want to read some Ayn Rand? She's really cool. Look at this. Look at this.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone. It's Mike Malone.
Okay. Calm down a bit. 25 before the hour. It's just the complete lack of interest that these Republican candidates have shown for anything other than their investments and their tax returns and who can cut taxes for the rich the most. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed what the argument is, the debate, so-called, what it's about? How much money Mitt Romney has and where he's got it hidden? And Newt Gingrich's charge accounts and his filthy lies to his string of ex-wives and the fact that he is a certifiable nut. I mean, just a crazy man. And people are still going to vote for these pigs? Oh, yeah. So, as the Mudfest, you know, continues, and regardless of what happened today... You know, Gingrich insists, I'm gonna go all the way to the convention in Tampa in August. Oh, are you really? You slob. Mitt Romney, by all the polls, was comfortably ahead in Florida anyway, so the results are, you take them for what they're worth. But the way those polls got to where they are is the way Romney would taunt. Finally, you know, he got in the game, the same game that the rest of these pigs are in. You know, up to a certain point, Romney would just stand there while these people would pummel him. And he'd make, making $10,000 bets with Rick Perry. And just, I mean, just insane. Well, he decided to fight back against Newt Gingrich. Ta-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Romney's advisors know that all they have to do is get Gingrich pissed off and he will fall apart at the seams. Remember the in New York Daily News, there was a cartoon back in 1995 of Newt Gingrich in diapers shaking his baby bottle when he didn't get choice seats on Air Force One. Remember that? And as David Firestone at a New York Times blog site points out, the reaction that the Romney team is getting from him now is only slightly less intense than that famous tantrum. Now, how did Gingrich respond? Why am I talking about this? Just to point out the corruption, the sickness, the destruction, the pointlessness of continuing this current system. Do you get that? Yeah, I'm talking about bringing the whole goddamn thing down and starting over again. That's going to require a very mature population. Oops, what did I just say? Oh, my God. But if we continue, this is what we've got. Gingrich as Firestone points out, has reached into his bag of bizarre accusations and pulled out the anti-religion card. Woohoo! He started by condemning as an attack on religion Obama's requirement that most healthcare plans cover contraception, birth control pills, you know, sponges, IUDs, I guess they don't use IUDs anymore, whatever is used. Contraception? Oh, that's anti-religion! Because healthcare plans are available to people who work at large religious places like Catholic hospitals and universities. Psst, here's a hint for you, you religious fanatics. Don't buy that insurance. Go somewhere else. Get all you religious crazies together and self-insure. But no, there's no attack on religion. There's attack on non-religion. At a Tampa airport hangar yesterday, I think, Gingrich said that this requirement that most healthcare plans cover contraception, Gingrich said, it's a fundamental assault on the right of freedom of religion. Oh, my God. He tramples on, for example, the ability of a nurse. Maybe she's an atheist or a Jew or a Hindu or an agnostic or I don't know, believes in beating herself with birch switches. I don't know. But if she works at a large Catholic medical center, why should she be denied through her healthcare plan to get her birth control pills? So Obama says, you can't do that. You got to make medical applications available to everybody. And Newt Gingrich calls that an assault on religion. Of course he does. He says, quote, on the very first day I'm inaugurated, I will sign an executive order repealing every Obama attack on religion, end quote. Now, if that's not the ravings of someone who is totally insane, on the very first day of his presidency, he's going to sign an executive order repealing every Obama attack on religion. What in the hell does that mean? Nothing. But to the bobbleheads, apparently in Florida, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, gotta stop the attacks on religion, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm unemployed. I'm being evicted. I was foreclosed on. I lost my car, my health insurance, but oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, let's stop this attack on religion, Newt, oh yeah. Jesus, God, so to speak. Then Gingrich, apparently just getting almost orgasmic about what he just said. On my first day, I'm going to reverse every attack on... He goes after Romney, and he said Romney was just as bad as Obama because Romney imposed a position on Catholic hospitals that was against their consciousness. Their consciences. Well, both. Apparently, this was a reference to a decision in 2005 that Romney made as governor of Massachusetts in which he said hospitals in the state were required to provide the Plan B birth control pill paid for by Medicaid. He didn't say that a good Catholic girl who went out and got laid had to take it the next morning. He said they had to be available. Woo! An attack on religion. An attack on religion. Oh, you know what else Gingrich said? He said Romney cut off kosher meals for elderly Jewish nursing home patients in order to save $5 a day in the Massachusetts state budget. Yeah, he did. And as David Firestone writes, these charges, like flash grenades that do no real damage, are designed simply to alarm listeners and rile up the crowds. Neither Mr. Romney nor Mr. Obama have anti-Catholic or anti-Jewish agendas. No employee of a Catholic institution who objects to birth control will be forced to use it. But isn't it also fair to say that the church can't impose its doctrine on people who don't believe this fictitious, superstitious, religious garbage? And who happen to be working for a religious hospital and collecting a paycheck? Does that mean if I'm that person working in that hospital, I have to stand there and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, I don't want to destroy the little sperms. Ooh, so no condoms for me, because if I use a condom before I have sexual intercourse, all those little sperms will go in that little thing at the end and die! Oh, that's an attack on religion, don't you know? Now, while Gingrich upholds his slavering support of the Judeo-Christian tradition, guess what else he's doing? He said, not 10 minutes later, quote, oh, I am unalterably opposed to the use of Sharia law in any American court. What? Sharia law in an American court? Well, wait a minute, New, you just said, you know, you're attacking your opponent because of his anti-religion views, and you're attacking the president, and you lard-ass bastard, you're going to stand there and attack Islam. And nobody pays any attention to this cretin when he says something like that. You think somebody's like, Mr. Gingrich, but if you're, wait a minute, what are you saying? Oh, you're in favor of the Jews and the Christians, you don't like the Muslims. Okay, well, neither do I. It wouldn't occur to Gingrich that there might be a contradiction between his attack on Islam and his battle against the war on religion. But Newt Gingrich is mad. He's madder than a Mad Hatter. Newt Gingrich, by any yardstick, is nuts.
I'm a Roman Catholic, and have been since before I was born. And the one thing they say about Catholics is they'll take you as soon as you're warm. You don't have to be a six-footer. You don't have to have a great brain. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
This war on religion, did you know that there was a letter read from the pulpit of just about every Catholic church in the country, an anti-Obama letter last Sunday? Here's the setup. Despite strong lobbying from religious groups, the Health and Human Services Department announced earlier this month that most church-linked groups will not be exempt from the requirements to insurance companies that they cover birth control as part of their health care plans. So the religious groups went insane. These religious crazy people have to be inside a woman's vagina, all the way up into her uterus, and apparently encircling a man's penis to make sure what's on it or not on it in the moment of intercourse. This is religion. This is about Jesus, you see. This is about redemption. This is about peace and love your neighbor. Let me see your penis. Let me visit inside your vagina and your uterus. And you don't think this is insanity, huh? Here was the letter. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I write to you concerning an alarming and serious matter that negatively impacts the church in the United States directly and that strikes at the fundamental right to religious liberty for all citizens of any faith. The federal government, which claims to be of, by, and for the people, has just been dealt a heavy blow. Has just been dealt a heavy blow to almost a quarter of those people, the Catholic population, and to the millions more who are served by the Catholic faithful. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced last week that almost all employers, including Catholic employers, will be forced to offer their employees health coverage that include sterilization, abortion-inducing drugs, and contraception. Almost all health insurers, forget that I just said almost all health insurers will be forced to include these services in the health policies they write, and almost all individuals will be forced to buy that coverage as part of their policies. In so ruling, the Obama administration has cast aside the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, denying to Catholics our nation's first and most fundamental freedom, that of religious liberty, and to not have to put anything on our penises that we don't want to. Oh, I added that last part. And as a result, unless the rule is overturned, the letter goes on, we Catholics will be compelled to either violate our consciences or to drop health coverage for our employees. The Obama administration's sole concession, I'm sorry, you know what I'm thinking of. The Obama administration's sole concession was to give our institutions 1 year to comply. We cannot and will not comply with this unjust law. People of faith cannot be made second-class citizens. We are already joined by our brothers and sisters of all faiths and many others of goodwill in this important effort to regain our religious freedom. Our parents and grandparents did not come to these shores to help build American cities and towns, its infrastructure and institutions, its enterprise and culture, only to have their posterity stripped of their God-given rights. To not have to wear anything on our penises! Oops, I'm sorry, I added that part. In generations past, the church has always been able to count on the faithful to stand up and protect her sacred rights and duties. I hope and trust she, is that reference to the church, she? I hope and trust she can count on this generation of Catholics to do the same. Our children and grandchildren deserve nothing less. And therefore, I would ask of you two things. First, as a community of faith, we must commit ourselves to prayer and fasting that wisdom and justice may prevail. So stay out of McDonald's! I added that part. And religious liberty may be restored. Without God, we can do nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Second, I would also recommend visiting www. to learn more about this severe assault on religious liberty and how to contact Congress in support of legislation that would reverse the Obama administration's decision. Oh, shall we pray? Sincerely yours in Christ. And then the name of the bishop of whatever. This one was signed by the Bishop of Marquette, the most reverend, not a lot of reverend, not a whole bunch of reverend, but the most reverend, Alexander K. Sample. And they talk about an assault on religion. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? These church fascists want to dictate how a woman has sex, how a man has sex, what the ultimate goal is. Well, you don't have sex for fun. You don't? No! What have you got on your penis? Nothing. Keep it that way. What have you got up in your uterus?
Nothing.
Keep it that way.
Oh.
Or you'll burn in hell forever.
Oh, okay. Nothing on my penis, nothing in my vagina, nothing in my uterus. Oh, yes, your most holiness. I promise, and I won't touch myself again. And when I go to the bathroom, I use gloves. And saints preserve us. Oh, the assault on religion. It's everywhere. Every place you turn around, an assault on religion. Oh, we have to stop it.
Do you know where we live? We live in a pit of madness. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.